Anybody that knows me knows this is going to be rough for me. I'm a pacer and I got to just sit. Yeah, this is tough. No. All right. Had somebody, I was talking to a friend of mine in Ohio, and he was asking, we were talking about his church and our church, and he was asking how it was going, and I said, well, you know, we've been doing really well. We've been having about 85 people the last 4 weeks and everything like that. And we're talking and you must be preaching really well. And I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, I haven't preached for 4 weeks. So I don't know if there's, anyways. But thank you for those of you that may be watching that don't know why I haven't been up here. Had hip surgery a month ago now, I think, a little over a month ago, and so just now getting back to it. Thank you to everyone that came over, and because Chris was having to take care of me, and it's very humbling to have someone have to take care of you. But I appreciate everyone that brought things over. Adam came over, and there was some things Chris wanted done. We moved from upstairs to the main floor because I'm not supposed to go up and down the stairs. And there was some things that needed fixed in there, and he came over and fixed three things for Chris. So I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. So some jokes. I missed 4 weeks, so I've got 4 weeks worth of jokes here, so just hold steady. Now, these are bulletin, church bulletins that went wrong, I guess. The Royal Rangers are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. I love this one. This one I've used for years and years. This one's great. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7. Please use the back door. The pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their electric griddles for pancake breakfast. Ushers will eat latecomers. I guess that means greet. I don't know. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Yeah, those of you that have six children, where's Sarah? Sarah's gone. Jay, you don't know it. this was rude. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon from... That was rude. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. How many know over the last 2 years, Satan and the world has used stress and worry to defeat us, to cripple us? Our nation has been crippled from worry, from fear. Fear, it does, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, they try and keep our attention. You have to worry about this. Well, now we've got to worry about this. I mean, at one point, wasn't it wasp? There was wasp we were to be afraid of, that we're over here, that we're going to kill people or something. And then COVID, and then, you know, Russia. We got to be afraid of Russia. We got to be afraid of this. It's fear. It, like, we don't have enough fear in society as it is. People are stressed out over everything. Well, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, birds, he's talking about here, birds have nothing to worry about. They always have provision. There's always worms. There's always things for them to eat. When they go looking for it, they always have enough. God worked it out and planned it in the world that they will always have enough. And Jesus is pointing out that we're supposed to focus on these things, and it'll lead us to not have to worry. We're going to learn this morning how not to worry. Have you ever tried to reassure someone when they're worried about something and you know everything's going to be okay? You might say, you know, there's no need to worry. When we're not going through it, it's easy to look at someone else's problem and say, don't worry about that. God's got this, right? It's easy to look at them. But sometimes when it's ourself, we struggle with that. The first thing, there's no need to worry because it doesn't help. Jesus addressed this in verse 27. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, this verse isn't talking about our height. If you look up the Greek meaning, that word means age. So that's why some of the translations you may have it. It says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? There's not a single one of us that's going to worry and live longer. By worrying about something, it's not going to change it. So Jesus is asking this knowing that the answer is obviously no. Worry cannot add a single minute to our life. Worry cannot add a single dollar to our bank accounts. Worry cannot add a single point to your GPA. Worry cannot impress your boss. Worry cannot cause your kids to behave better. Worry cannot strengthen your marriage. Worry cannot help us in any way. Now, however, worry can cause negative effects. I looked up negative effects to worry, and it's ridiculous how much it is here. Worry can damage your health, heart attack, asthma, obesity, diabetes, headaches, depression, gastro problems, Alzheimer's disease, anxiety disorder, other mental disorders, substance misuse, insomnia, digestive and bowel problems, headaches, chronic pain, social isolation, and problems functioning at school or work. Worry can damage us. Worry can kill us. Doctors say that you can stress yourself, you can worry yourself to death. Doesn't have any positive, but it has plenty of negative effects. One might respond, well, Pastor, if I don't worry, then I'm not going to get stuff done. But I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be concerned about things. And there's a difference between concern and worry. Concern acknowledges that something needs careful thought. Worry is given to consuming stress. Concern gives way to planning. Worry gives way to fear. If I'm worried about, money, I it's a concern that I work harder. I try and get enough, you know, I've had three jobs. Chris has had three jobs at the same time to pay bills. God's okay with concern and planning. He's not okay with worry. The Life Application Study Bible adds, concern moves you to action. Worry immobilizes you. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. It doesn't change anything. Now, Jesus concluded our scripture this morning in verse 34 by saying, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Each day has enough to occupy our mind. There's enough things going on in our day that we don't need to worry. Why would we add more problems to our life that's not going on? Chris and I had been married about 6 months, and everything was going great. And then one day out of nowhere, she just was mad. And she was just, you know, fussing and yelling. And I'm like, "What in the world are you mad at?" And we're just fighting, and I don't know why we're fighting. And she's, you know, not making sense to me. And so I'm going back at her. I have no idea what I'm going back at her about, but we're fighting. And at the end of it, it came down to that we had been going too good, and it's worried her. We laugh at that, but anyone ever been there? And I told her the same thing that Jesus is telling us here. You know, life is going to have a marriage. We're going to have enough fights. You know, there's going to be a fight along the way. There's going to be fights. Let's not add to them. And that's the way we do with our life. There's going to be problems in our life. Why do we worry about problems before problems come? We cause our own stress. We cause our own problems worried about the problem. We laugh because Chris and I did that, but we do the same thing with our life, worrying. That's what verse 34 to me is saying. There's no advantage to worry or anxiety. It doesn't help. Worry and anxiety has no positive effect, but they do have a negative effect. The second thing, there's no need to worry because God knows what you need. Jesus gives us two primary examples from nature to prove this point. Verse 26, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than them?" It's a good question. I think there's very little explanation needed to this point. Jesus is teaching us that the birds have plenty to eat. You rarely hear of a wild animal not having enough food. God made the circle of life, whether they're plant eaters or they eat. There's children in here, but meat. God worked it out. He planned it. God's natural created order has provision built in for feeding them. And if he cares about the birds, how many know he cares for us? He cares for us. You know, we've been broke. We have been broke, and we've been broke. But we've never gone without. God has always provided for us. Maybe not the way I want or I expect, but he gives me what we need. He's always provided for us. And he'll provide for you. He gave you a second example in verse 28. "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory has not arrayed like one of these." It makes me think of beautiful fields of, you know, I was reading this one, and this one guy said, you know, "I don't think he's talking about lilies and beautiful flowers. I think he's talking about, no, I think God's talking about the beautiful fields." When we're driving, we love to just, we'll drive somewhere, and you'll look out over the fields, and it's just beauty. You know, the purple, or especially in fall time, you know, you see the different colors, or spring when the flowers are coming up. You know, you see all the beautiful colors. If God has all of that beauty taken care of, he's going to take care of us. You know, here, I joke about it. Here in America, we have more than enough, but we're spoiled. We open up the refrigerator, and we look, and we can't find anything. We open up the pantry, and we look, and we can't find anything. God takes care of our needs. He provides for us. But do we trust God in this matter? Do you trust that you're important to God, more important than the rest of the creation, that He will provide our needs? Do you trust that God will provide everything that you need? He's our creator. And for those of us that have been given ourselves to Him, that have accepted Him into our life, He's our Father. And I know some people have had bad fathers, but God is the example. I was watching this movie, and I showed Luke. Can't think of the name of it right now, but it's by the Kendrick brothers that did Courageous and all of those. Yeah, Fireproof, and it's about fathers. Look it up if you haven't seen it. And it talks about the example that God, our Father, is to us. He's the best daddy in the world. He is the perfect Father, and He will take care of us. He provides for us. When we accept Him into our lives, He chose us. I love the fact of the adoption. It's the perfect thing because, you know, when you have a child, you get your child, but when you're adopted, you pick your child. And you know, in America, I haven't looked it up recently, so I won't swear to this, but it used to be that you can give away your own child, but when you adopt a child, you sign papers that you can't get rid of them. You are choosing that child, and you're saying, I will be in their life forever. They are my child. I want them. And that's what God does to us. He chose us and adopted us. And so if He did that, why would He not take care of us greater than what He did the lesser creations in the world? James 1:17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Food, clothing, money, family, faith, love, grace, forgiveness. It all comes from our Creator. It all comes from our Heavenly Father. Every good gift comes from the Father. He was talking about at offering time. You know, we think of God's blessing as just financial, but there's so much more, greater gifts. You know, He's told you have cancer, and then however long later, you know, a couple weeks later, they can't find it. It's gone. God healed him. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing. That's a good gift and perfect gift from our Heavenly Father. And all of that comes because He loves us. So if He's going to go to the trouble of healing us from cancer, taking care of us when the doctors say we're dead, when statistics say you're a goner, if He's going to go to all the trouble of taking care of us in those situations, why do we worry and stress about finances? Why do we worry and stress about clothes or food or whatever the world wants us to stress about? Amen? I'll whip out my sign. Where's my sign? It's true. Toward the end of verse 30, Jesus even challenges our faith, and He says, oh, you of little faith. Man, what a slap. Oh, you of little faith. Really? I do all of this for you, and you're stressing about this. This little thing, this is nothing to me. What kind of faith do we have today? Do we trust our Heavenly Father? Is the focus of our life on the world? I think we need to focus change our focus to our faith problem. We're concerned with our food and our finances and our fashion, but Jesus is concerned with our faith because our focus is messed up. Where should our focus be? The answer is in our scripture this morning. In verse 33, it says, but seek first, not second, not after your job, not after your kids. The world's, oh, you got to put your kids first. Wrong. Sorry, wrong. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of your children. He'll take care of your marriage. He'll take care of the food. He'll take care of your clothes. He'll take care of everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Not some, but all. The problem is we seek him when we don't run out of money. We seek him when we don't run out of time. We seek him when there's problems. We seek him. That's not the way it works. Seek him first and his righteousness and everything that he's about. Change our focus. Our focus is on what the world is. We're not of this world. We're not, you know, part of this world. We're heavenly. We're royal priesthood. We're king's kids. Change your focus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come to you. The third thing, no need to worry, because what we really need is God. When there's something in our lives that takes priority over lesser things, that usually causes us not to be concerned of the lesser things. Like in your car, if your radio is broken, but you also have a broken transmission, you need to be more concerned about the transmission. Now, I'll tell you, when I was 18, my priorities were different. My priorities were the radio. I wanted to look cool. I wanted to have the music sounding cool. I'll worry about my transmission when it falls apart. Remember those days, our stupid days, right? You know, I want my tires to look good. I want this to, you know. And, you know, when you had someone in the car, you went like this, and we drove like this. I'm from a small town in Oklahoma. And everyone knew everyone. So you drove like this. You had it over top of it like this. You know why? Because you had to wave at everyone. Like this. Anyone from a small town where you did that? And then if there wasn't someone in your car, you did it like this. Had your hand out the window like this. And you, what's up? I guess I'm the only one from a small town. But that's what we used to do. We used to drag Maine. We'd go from Sonic to Dairy Queen, turn around and drive back. If you were broke that week, you parked in the Piggly Wiggly in the middle of town. It was right in the middle. And you'd be like, hey, come over here and park with me. And they're like, no, man, I got gas. Shut up. All the poor people would be parked in Piggly Wiggly. Sorry, squirrel. But that was where my focus was at that time. I would have more concerned about the radio. But now we have a little wisdom. We realize transmission's going to cost you a lot more if you wait. The radio, I can go without a radio, right? Now, my goodness, you can turn on all kinds of other ways to fix that. The transmission needs to be fixed, right? As Christians, our focus needs to be on the bigger issue. Not the radio. We're supposed to be a little more mature than that. We're not babes. We're not stupid anymore. All right? We're not focusing on the radio. We need to, you know, we're focused on the transmission. Let's look again in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing. Jesus is telling us that there's more to life than food and clothing. He's telling you, hey, dummy, the radio doesn't matter. There's more to this car, more important things to this car than the radio. And that's what he's telling us here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a suit today, if you're wearing a t-shirt today, or anything in between. That doesn't matter. Is our focus on God this morning? Are we worshiping God this morning? Are we here for God this morning? Are we soaking up the Holy Spirit this morning? Are we just here to look cool? Sup? We're here for the wrong reasons sometimes. Jesus didn't say that those things don't matter. Jesus didn't say not to concern ourselves with these things. Jesus didn't say not to work hard for these things. What Jesus is saying is that life is more than just these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say there's not a 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. There's important things. He's just saying, get your focus right. Then he tells us what the greater thing is when he says, seek first. When we do seek God and his ways first and foremost, these other things will work out. He says, all these things will be added unto us. Get your priorities straight. This reminds me of Christian. He was in school, and he was and is a genius. He's like, he tests tremendously high. But I couldn't get through his mind. I would tell him all the time, I was like, look, son, you're going to be in school for 6 or 7 hours, whatever it was, a day. Okay? If you do your work in this time, you'll be able to play in this time. His focus was on, I want to play. That's all I care about. I want to play. I'm like, that's fine. Do your work. You'll be able to play. But he wouldn't do his work. And so he ended up the whole day. We had a inner city program. So after school, we'd pick up all the kids. And he'd go in her office and have to work on his homework all night long. He didn't get to go play. He didn't get to be a part of everything that was going on because he lost focus of what was important in our lives. That's like us. We lose focus of the important things. Remember in the context here in verse 31, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's talking about the Gentiles as non-Jewish or godless people. So in other words, he's telling you, look, the world worries about that stuff. You're different than the world. God knows that you need that. It says right there, your heavenly Father knows that you need that stuff. Don't worry about it. Seek him. He'll give you the stuff. We're supposed to be better than them. We're supposed to be different than them. We're looking for the bigger prize. They don't know that faith is greater than food. They don't know that charity is greater than clothing. They don't know that grace is greater than gain, that love is greater than luxury, that blessings of God and God himself outweigh the needs of this world. They're focused on things. When we're focused on things, we're going to be in trouble. When our focus is stuff, we're going to fall. Followers of Christ should be focused on God. God knows what we need, and when we seek him first, he's going to take care of them. Should we be concerned with this stuff? Absolutely. We need to plan and work and take care of ourselves, take care of our families. Should we worry about the things like the world does? Absolutely not. There's a difference between working hard. And in today's society as Christians, side note by the way here, we should be the good employees. We should be the hard workers as Christians. I hate seeing in today's society, we're the lazy, bad employees. As Christians, we should be the model. Complete side note there. It's another sermon. We should seek God in his ways and the rest will work out. We need to focus on God more, not the bottom line. Jesus tells us 3 times in this passage to not worry, to not be anxious. So I think he wants to get the point across. Put your trust in God and the rest is going to work out. Doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter what the world says. You turn on the news, you're going to get depressed. I promise you. You're going to stress out. I fast forward, and if I see something, I think, okay, I'll stop. Nope, that's negative. I go, and I see the weather, and that's it. And sometimes that's depressing. But, you know, a little bit of news, it goes a long way. Okay, I can't change it. I can't fix it. If they give me a stimulus, they give me a stimulus. If there's bad stuff going on in Washington, it's going, I can't fix anything. I can't change anything. Pray for our government, local, state, national. Pray for them. Pray for wisdom. Pray that God puts the ones that he wants in there. Do our part. Vote. Do the right thing. But don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Take that time that you watch the news or you read all that stuff and pray. Pray for each other. Pray for our country. Spend some time on your knees instead of worrying or stressing about things. Doesn't fix it anyways. That's what he tells us. It doesn't change anything. And I'll tell you what, when you're worried about yourself, when I give to other people, it takes my focus off of my negative in my life. You ever find that? When we do for others, when we care for others, when we love others, when we give to others, when we bless others, when we serve others, it takes the focus off of our problems. We're giving it to God at that point. When we stick our head in there, I've told this story before. We were on the farm there in Oklahoma, and there was this big snake in the chicken coop. And we had to go take care of it or it was going to kill all of our chickens. And so I was going to lift up the chicken coop, and my cousin was going to shoot the snake. I'm like, all right, one, two. And right as I'm about to say three, my grandmother sticks her head in there, and she's pointing, okay, Lauren, make sure you get here. And I'm like, get out of the way. You're in the way of what we're trying to fix the problem. Sound familiar? God's trying to fix our problem. We're so busy going, hey, God, do this right here, God. Make sure you do this. Get out the way. Keep your nose out of God. Give it to God and put our focus where it's supposed to be. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads. If you don't know him as your personal Savior this morning, whether you're here or whether you're watching online or listening, this ability to not have to worry about our life is a gift from God. And that gift is free to everyone. All you have to do is confess your sins, ask him to forgive you of those sins, and then ask him into your heart. And when we seek him first, everything will be added unto us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we come to you this morning or today asking you to forgive us of all of our sins. Lord, I pray that you'll just take them all away from us. All of our past, all of our ugly. And Lord, come into our hearts. Fill us up with all of your blessings and everything that comes with you. Your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of you, I want you to consider, what are you worried about? What's the source of your worry? And then what are you seeking? Are you seeking the things of the world? Or are you seeking the things of God? As we worship this morning, the altars are open. Spend a little time with God. Some of us may need to ask him for forgiveness for putting other things ahead of him. We've moved him down that ladder from one. Some of us may have him pretty low. you need prayer for anything, come forward here in the middle. We'll pray together. Go ahead.